You are listening to the Yabba-Dum Media Podcast. We're a mother-daughter team who love to research, think deeply, and talk about our opinions on strange, unconventional, weird, and downright crazy topics. And now, here are your hosts, Gritzy and Yabba-Dum. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yabba-Dum Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about our experience at the eclipse, which was about 2.5-3 weeks ago. So we went down to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, and we found this great spot. It was a big open field. It was free, not too many people, and they were just letting people come in and park their cars and watch the eclipse. So we arrive in this valley, and it's very clear skies. It's a beautiful day, perfect viewing weather. No clouds in the sky, really. I mean, I think there was a few distant cumulus clouds, but nothing obscuring the sun whatsoever when we got there. And so we set up Gritzy's P900 camera, and we had a solar filter. Well, it wasn't a filter built for the camera. It was a sheet that we used a rubber band and just put around the lens, but it worked. So we set everything up and we got to, you know, take a look at the sun, and then we saw the eclipse starting. And just about, I'd say, half an hour before the totality hit, we noticed chemtrails in the sky, which I heard planes overhead, but what was really weird is I didn't see any. Like, I would look above and I couldn't spot them, and I'm not sure why. But then a bunch of chemtrails appeared just out of nowhere almost about a half an hour beforehand. Now, thankfully, it didn't really obscure our view, but it almost seemed like they were trying to.
What it did is it made it hard to focus. You couldn't feel like you could get a real clear image. I noticed it was just a little bit on the blurry side.
Right.
Viewing it.
And I know a lot of people were talking about how apparently there were plans from the powers that be to make the eclipse longer or something. Like, I don't know how that's possible by spraying chemicals in the air, or if somehow it makes something in the atmosphere look different. But I don't know. There was a lot of speculation going on. And thankfully, like I said, it wasn't too obscured. We got some really good pictures. We got great video, which I will put on the website. This will be, what is this, episode 4. So it'll be at yabba-dum.com/4 if you want to see the pictures and the videos. What else? Oh, so we watched it, and I have to say, when it happened, it was the coolest thing I've ever experienced.
Right. It stayed fairly bright till almost the totality. It was probably 80% covered when we started to get an overcast look. We tried to film that look, like with the iPhone, but it didn't show up on the iPhone as much darker. And there were crickets chirping. Yeah. And the other thing that was interesting is when it was about the 80%, a large herd of elk came out of the woods and crossed the road and caused a lot of stir right then. So it definitely was freaking out the animals somewhat.
Yeah, definitely. And then right at the peak, I mean, so it basically was like a very fast sunset. Okay, so there was a lot covered before we even noticed anything. And then even right before the totality, it was almost like at sunset. But you know, at sunset, it doesn't become immediately dark. The light still lingers for quite a while. So it was almost this immediate darkness during totality. So since we were right in the path, we were able to take off our glasses. We took off the solar filter on the camera and got to see how the sky basically became like a dark purple.
Right.
And a few stars were noticeable then. The totality was only where we were. It was less than 2 minutes. It was about maybe 1:45. But we saw the whole ring, the little diamond ring effect with the corona peeking out at the top.
Right.
And then it's really cool, as you'll see in the video, there was like a prism of rainbows or something, like as the eclipse was ending.
Right.
It was really cool. So yeah, you'll have to check that out. There's another one supposed to happen, you know, crossing the United States in 7 years from now, 2024, and it'll be closer to us. Erie is one of the areas we might go to see it, although Erie's pretty overcast. I'm almost thinking we might be better off to go somewhere where it's not quite so cloudy all the time.
Right.
But, yeah, it's you have to definitely go see it for yourself. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Well, maybe twice in our lifetime, which is odd that it's 7 years later and it's making an X on the United States.
It's so rare. Most people only get to view one total solar eclipse in their lifetime, unless they are eclipse chasers and traveling all over the world to see them. But to not travel from your home area, it's rare to see one.
Right. And, you know, the ancient Jews, well, even Jews now, still believe that, and I tend to agree, but that a solar eclipse is a warning from God to Gentile nations. And the lunar eclipses are usually relating to Israel. I don't know. I mean, a big X across our country in 7 years.
Does it not make you think X marks the spot?
Right.
I mean, I hope we're not a target, but.
Right. So, I don't know if I talked about this in our last podcast, but there was this thing called Space, or no, not SpaceX. That's Elon Musk's deal. Earth X. Is that what it was called? I believe it was called Earth X, that I was wondering what was going on. Nothing actually happened, as far as I know. Yes, Earth X. There is this, I guess, government agency, but not necessarily like set up by the government. It's a group of people who have gotten together to raise awareness of the possibility of an EMP attack. So they had these drills going on 2 days after the eclipse. I believe it was, yeah, the 23rd. And it was called like Operation Blackout or something like that. And their logo, if you go to EISCouncil.com, their logo for Earth X looks like this eclipse. And they have these kind of eerie, dramatic, ominous videos on there about what would happen if an EMP hit. So that was just kind of interesting because obviously, I mean, I think it's a good thing that some people are looking at this and trying to bring awareness to it. But it's also like, okay, so are they putting these things in front of us before they do something is what I'm wondering. You know, like, it's not a matter of if this happens, it's when. And with all this stuff with North Korea right now, things are getting really tense. I mean, they're talking about a nuke and everything. Just an EMP over our country would be disastrous. So lots of stuff going on in the news. I don't know if there's any other things we were really going to talk about the eclipse other than just basically how cool it was. There's been a lot of weird things going on, I feel like. A lot of people, okay, so a lot of people talked about, should you view the eclipse even at totality or even right before totality, or even if you weren't in totality without your glasses on. You know, there's all these warnings, like you have to have your ISO certified glasses, which we did have. I was not going to risk, especially my children's eyesight or my own, just to rebel and see what would happen. But it seems to me like a lot of other people did, or a lot of other people have done things like sun gazing and whatever, and haven't really had any long-term effects. And I'm almost wondering, okay, is there something in people's genetics that might make them susceptible to have damage? Is it really that bad to look at the sun? I mean, this is not something I want to self-experiment with, but I've heard other people who actually do it and have not had any kind of effects from it. So it's interesting.
Well, and the idea of sun gazing, they give parameters. You typically don't look at the sun and stare at it during the high peak of the day. Their parameters are the hour right when the sun rises and the hour right when it sets. It's supposed to have healing properties. You can do a web search of that and see what they say. One man has done extended fasts, 120 days, even more than that, with just food and occasionally a few other items, And he's even been monitored by scientists.
Do you mean without food?
He's had fast with just like maybe just tea.
Oh, okay.
Or a few food items, but over 120 days and longer.
Okay. But what are you saying as far as tying into the sunlight?
Well, he was gazing at the sun and finding he didn't need to eat solid food because he was getting his energy direct. I mean, food, when we assimilate food, we're actually using the energy from the sun. We're breaking it down into energy. And right. He was saying he was getting his energy directly from the sun by gazing in the morning and in the evening. And what he would do is 5 to 10 seconds to start and then adding another second or two. We can put a link to his information.
Yeah, in the show notes. Yeah, no, I want to point out, we're not equating. I have a feeling, and I haven't looked into this, but I have a feeling that this whole sun gazing thing probably came from worshiping the sun god. So we're not saying it's okay, or we're not saying do sun gazing because we're promoting any kind of new age thing. And we're not even saying do this. We're just bringing up things that we've run across that are interesting. Perhaps God did give healing effects from sunlight and things. In fact, I mean, there's definite benefits of sunlight, which we'll get into shortly, but that doesn't mean God wants you to worship the sun. And so don't, you know, be careful when you're looking into this yourself that you're not buying into some new age hype like the sun is your source of healing, because all healing comes from God. But God can make things for our benefit to help heal us, you know, like certain herbs and plants and things like that. So I don't want anyone to think we're saying, you know, go be a sun gazer for the purpose of like worshiping the sun, or that's not what we're saying. It's just things we've run across when we've looked into some of these things that kind of go against the mainstream consensus about sunlight, such as sunlight causes skin cancer, or you should not be in the sun, you should always be putting on sunscreen, which I've personally experimented with for the past several years on not only myself, but my entire family now. Myself and my daughter have more of a tanner skin tone. I mean, not actually normally, but I don't tend to burn easily. And my husband and my other daughter really do tend to burn easily, or they used to, I should say. They have very fair skin, blue eyes, blonde hair. I know my daughter, when she was young, very young, before I started the whole not using sunscreen, would burn quickly and easily. And the same with my husband when he was growing up. I looked into some of this and I was like seeing all of this research about how the sun is good for us, not bad for us. And if you start building up your vitamin D levels and you start getting used to getting all of this full spectrum rays from the sun and the infrared and everything, and you start slowly and you expose your skin more and more, that you won't burn anymore and that it's really beneficial and it boosts your immune system. So several years ago, I thought, well, I'm going to try this out. I was never much of a sunscreen user, but I just stopped altogether. And I told my husband, hey, you know, start taking vitamin D. I started giving vitamin D to my girls in the winter. Now, we live like in the northeastern-ish part of the United States, so we don't get very much sunlight for 6 months of the year. In fact, even in the summer, we don't get a lot of sunlight. We're in a pretty cloudy, overcast area. I started telling them every day, you know, as much as possible, get outside for 20 to 30 minutes. No sunscreen, nothing. And in the winter, we supplement with pretty high doses of vitamin D. And then in the summer, I started just letting them go outside with, you know, a little more and more every day, until we're now at the point where we don't use sunscreen, and we haven't for maybe 2 years now. Not at all in the summer, not during vacations, not a speck goes on them at any time, and none of us burn. And my husband and I went to Cancun. We went on several vacations. My kids were out at the pools all summer long, various times, outside, constantly. No sunscreen. We don't burn at all. So I definitely know that that has to be true. And it makes me wonder, why are they so intent on putting sunscreen on everyone? Because usually what happens with skin cancer is It's when you have no, you're not used to being in the sun and your skin does not know how to handle it. And so your DNA gets damaged really quickly because it doesn't know what to do with it, and you burn badly, and then a bad burn will cause skin cancer. But if you're constantly in the sun, your body knows how to protect itself, and you know it does create a tan and things like that, but that's not what causes skin cancer. It's avoiding the sun and then going in too long, and then you have the problem. So,
well, and for example, we just got back from a vacation to the Outer Banks. Like Yabadam said, her family did not use any sunscreen. They did not burn. I had started in the spring going out and getting a little more sun. I didn't use any sunscreen and I didn't burn. My husband, however, was using sunscreen. He was a bright red, and he wasn't out any more than we were. In fact, he was probably out a little less, but he had a bad burn, which is peeling, because he was not exposing himself daily to sunlight on a regular basis before we went. So we went to the same location, pretty much the same or even less exposure, and he was burnt and we were fine. So how do you explain that?
Right. The same thing happened with other family members as well. Put on the sunscreen, don't want to burn, put on the sunscreen, don't want to burn. And guess what they were doing? Still burning. And guess what we were doing? Not putting on sunscreen, enjoying the sunlight, getting all the benefits, and not burning. So there's definitely something to be said for that. I just think it's, you know, God put melanin in us for a reason, and we need vitamin D. I mean, vitamin D levels are really low around where we live, and there's so many problems that are tied to it. I mean, immunity issues. Look at all the autoimmune diseases people have nowadays.
Depression.
I really think, yeah, depression. Sunlight directly stimulates serotonin production, and it's not an artificial serotonin production like with antidepressants. It stimulates your own natural feelings of well-being, and it releases endorphins. And I mean, you can just feel it. You can feel it almost from the inside out when you go into sunlight. A warmth radiating, and that's a good thing, and people do not get enough of it. I don't know, I would just suggest to everyone, start exposing yourself to sunlight. I mean, I guess I don't have skin cancer now, and I can't tell you if I will get it, but I don't think so. It just seems like I've looked at studies, and over again, they say the people most likely to get skin cancer are the people who do not expose themselves to the sun except for maybe once a year, and then they burn, and that's what happens. And the people who get tons and tons and tons of sun all the time tend to have lower rates of skin cancer. And not only that, I mean, think about the chemicals in all of these sunscreens. I mean, I know that there's natural sunscreens available, and people who still are on the sunscreen bandwagon hopefully are using at least natural sunscreens, but your skin absorbs what you put on it. And that's a fact, because there's lots of medicines and hormones and things like that that are in cream form that get absorbed directly into your bloodstream. So if you're putting all of these chemicals that are hormone disruptors onto your skin, and then also blocking the sunlight, imagine the kind of not only physical but mental problems you are just building upon, and that stuff stays in your fat cells too. It does not get easily flushed out. It's not like you ate something bad and then you get rid of it. It's stored in your cells for quite a long time. So just keep that in mind. I mean, I'm not a medical professional. I guess I need to give a disclaimer. I'm not telling anyone to look at the sun or not use sunscreen, and I'm not responsible for you, but I'm just telling you, don't believe the mainstream junk you hear. It's not true. So that was something we thought was interesting. And it kind of goes along with the whole eclipse thing. Oh gosh, I have a whole bunch of articles here about improving energy levels with light exposure, how sunlight and moonlight can affect your fertility, and all kinds of stuff. The healing power of sunlight. I'm going to post a lot of these links rather than just go over them all in our podcast. I'm going to post a lot of links in the show notes. So keep an eye out for those. You can do your own research. Always do your own research. Don't just believe everything we say, because we could be wrong. We don't know everything. This is just our opinions at this time. Okay, I have something else going on. So we have a YouTube channel We don't have enough. It's brand new, so we don't have enough subscribers or videos or views or anything like that to have our own personalized channel. So you can find our YouTube channel by going to yabbadum.com or just going to YouTube and searching for Yabbadum or Yabbadum Media. But you can't just go to YouTube, like a direct link, I don't think yet, because YouTube is cracking down on everybody. In fact, they won't let us monetize or anything now until you get 10,000 subscribers. Let me say this. I'm also putting all of our videos that I will discuss on our website, not linked to YouTube, rather than just embedding the YouTube video. I'm also going to put it on our website because YouTube is causing problems for a lot of Christian truthers out there. I'm seeing all kinds of stuff now where people are getting videos taken down, strikes, complaints.
And even a more insidious thing that I've heard discussed lately is longtime YouTube presenters who have channels and even upwards of 10 million views on their channel. They're finding out that if you already look at some topics and conspiracy topics, you can search something and that video will be available to you. But if it's someone who's brand new and hasn't tried to search those areas, they may search for a specific topic that they've just heard for the first time, and that video will not even come up in the queue for them to look at. So that's very unusual. And I've heard reports from people contacting a YouTube channel and saying, I've been unsubscribed and I don't desire to be. And he's had to reinstate numerous subscribers. They just get dropped off the channel and there's no legitimate explanation for why. So be aware, anytime that we put anything, if you can't find it on YouTube, go to our website because we're going to mirror it there.
Yeah. In fact, if you guys ever listen to Gon Shamira from Face Like the Sun or Canary Crab Radio, he's got a huge YouTube channel. He's been having all kinds of problems lately too with YouTube like flagging his videos, even ones that are not conspiracy related. Like once a week he puts up a word of encouragement video, and one last week he did was called Integrity, a word of encouragement. And it had nothing to do with conspiracy. It was just reading from the Bible and giving a encouraging word to his viewers, and it was like flagged and put into queue or something by YouTube. They were still trying to decide if it was okay for him to have. And what's really funny though is he said several days before he did that video, he was placed on a list that somebody created, and I don't have the details, but I will find it and I'll put it in the show notes. Somebody created a list called 400 sites Google does not want you to visit. And he was actually put in that list as one of the YouTubers because YouTube is owned by Google. So what they're doing is they're now using this information of stuff they don't want people to hear, and they're putting it at the very bottom of search results or even not allowing them to come up at all. And another thing that I just found out they're doing is if a video has a copyright strike against it, and this will come into importance in just a minute, and I'll tell you why. If a video has a copyright strike against it, even if it's been reinstated, YouTube now almost buries that when people do a search. So in fact, even online, when you go to Google, if you search for something that there's been a copyright strike against, at the bottom of the Google search results, it'll say, results were omitted from your search due to this claim, this claim, this claim, this claim. Well, if you click on the claim, you can still get to the link, but they assume that when people see that, they don't even like click on anything. And right. So they're not showing you directly how to get there. So you almost have to dig. You can still find it, because I guess if they completely removed it, that would be straight out censorship, but they're basically censoring. So here's why this is important. Last week or maybe 2 weeks ago now, about 10 days ago, Taylor Swift came out with a new song. Now, somebody on my Facebook feed, one of my kids' friends' moms or something, posted something like, oh, Taylor just came out with a new song. We can't wait to go see her next year, blah, blah, blah. It's very different. She didn't say it was terrifyingly horrific, but she said it was different. So I thought, well, I got to check this out. So I went to YouTube And I searched for the new song, and lo and behold, Vivo had like a teaser video out produced by someone called ODD, Odd. Now, I did verify it wasn't the truther ODD, or I don't even know if he goes by Odd or whatever. It wasn't him. But anyway, I watched the video and I was so disturbed by it. And I was getting ready to go on vacation. I really didn't have much time. So I was like, you know what, though? I got to jump on this because this is crazy. And let me tell you, people, it was so filled with Illuminati symbolism. And I did a horrible job going over the video because I was still speechless and I was rushing and I was trying to get it done. And I really didn't explain myself well to people who didn't maybe know where I was coming from. But if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do know a lot about conspiracy and Masonic symbolism and Illuminati symbolism and satanic ritual abuse and all of that. So hopefully you'll know where I was coming from. But if you go to our YouTube channel, you can watch my whole breakdown of that video. And please excuse my lack of articulation and everything just because, like I said, I was rushed and I was still in shock and I didn't even know how to put my thoughts into words, but I wanted to get it out there. So it was our first video we put out there. And I think as of now, which is, today's September 6th. So it's been about 10 days and I think I have close to 10,000 subscribers. I mean, I know it's over 9,500.
Views,
that's right. So that was just from our first video. So obviously people are looking at it. It was getting up there in views and right around, I think, 3,000 views, I got a strike on it from Taylor Swift's record company. And I disputed the strike and I said, this is fair use. I'm criticizing it, obviously. And so they let it go, but they flagged it that there is a copyright claim. However, people could still watch, but they are allowed to advertise on it. So there you go. So they're basically now, oh, go ahead, make fun of it, put what you want out there. We'll just be advertising on this now. And who knows what they're advertising as of today on the video. And I had 92 likes and 22 dislikes and I think 69 subscribers now. This is just 10 days. Like I said, I had no subscribers, no videos, nothing before 10 days ago. So I definitely want to do more YouTube videos. We have 121 comments. There's a lot of really good and really insightful comments. So go on there and check that out. And then be on the lookout because I'm hoping this week to release a criticism of her actual video, which we watched go live on the MTV Video Music Awards, which I don't usually watch. In fact, I even let my children watch it because they saw my criticism of the preview. They were aware of all the bad stuff that was in it. And I'm not saying like foul language. Okay, there's not foul language in it, but it's a bit, I think, worse than that. But they were made aware ahead of time. This is why I don't want you listening to her anymore. This is what I think has been going on with her. And I want my kids to, when they watch video or listen to music or read a book or watch a movie, I want them to look at it with a critical eye and ask questions like, who produced this? What is their agenda? Who's putting money behind this? Or who's influencing this? And what symbols are going into this? And what are they trying to tell the viewer or the listener? What messages are they trying to sneak in there to get across? And this isn't even sneaky. I mean, this is right in your face. So I am going to do the criticism of her actual video release at the MTV Video Music Awards because there's even more I found that's kind of sneaky and insidious and hidden in the symbolisms and little words that if you hit pause and you blow up the screen, you can see. And it was really disturbing because I kind of went through frame by frame and just kept hitting pause. And just the look on her face. Well, you can see it. I'll go over all of that later and I'll put it on YouTube. But make sure you check that out. Make sure you subscribe to YouTube because I have a feeling we're going to do a lot more YouTube type stuff just because it seems like that's really getting out there. And I also am going to be posting all of our podcasts on YouTube. So, you know, if you don't listen on iTunes or you don't have a podcatcher on your phone or you don't have a smartphone or whatever, you can always go on YouTube. You can also listen to our podcasts from our website in each blog post. Anyway, guys, I don't know that I have a whole lot more to talk about this week. Do you?
Not in particular. I hope that we can talk a little in the future, not on this podcast, but about the September 23rd sign. That'll be coming up.
Oh, yeah, that's probably, well, can we get that in the next 2 weeks?
We might have to try.
We might need to do that one. Yeah, because there's a lot of talk about, well, there's some argument among Christians. And here's the thing. I don't think when any of us get to heaven, anyone's going to have anything right. I have a feeling we're all going to get there and be like, well, everyone was wrong. However, I do think it's important that people look into these things, but do it without like yelling at people and putting them down just because you don't maybe see or believe the same thing. And I'm not talking about the core message of the gospel, okay? Obviously, there's some things that are non-negotiables. But when it comes to these things, some people are saying, yeah, this is definitely the Revelation 12 sign. Other people are saying, no way, that already happened. That was at Christ's birth. This isn't the same thing. But, you know, it looks like the same thing. And prophecy does sometimes have double, triple fulfillments. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I wouldn't discount it. I also wouldn't say that this is, oh, Christ is coming back that day. You have to look at things with open mind, but discerning and critical mind as well. You know, not open to your brains fall out, but also not so prideful to your own views that you don't even look into anybody else's opinions. So, yeah, we'll definitely want to go over that. That'll probably end up being next, because maybe we can lump that in with something else.
We wanted to have some different topics to talk about, but there's so much that's pressing on the horizon. We feel like we're 2 feet in front of a car that's speeding down the road, and we're trying to just stay ahead of the bumper.
Right, and there's so much to research on everything, and so I don't want to get in there and like go in not knowing anything. But then again, I don't want to be like overwhelmed with facts that I don't even know where to start, or have too much to talk about and make the podcast too long. I do want to mention on September 11th, that's coming up,
Monday.
5 days from today. Yeah, Monday, September 11th. That's when, well, obviously when the Twin Towers fell, but that's when Michael Heiser and a lot of other scholars believe that Christ was actually born. I wish that we could make that more widely known, you know, have a little celebration for Christ's birth. Although Jesus doesn't tell us to celebrate his birthday. His death and resurrection is what's most important to our faith. And obviously it's important that he was born, but it's just interesting that it's not in December, people. It's probably September 11th, which is interesting. Oh, that reminds me, I'm reading this book by Mark Flynn called
Secrets of the Labyrinth?
Yes, Secrets of the Labyrinth. I believe that's it. And I'll put it in the show notes. I just finished a chapter about the Twin Towers and the symbolism that went along with that and how it really was, the whole architecture was just tied back to ancient times and the worship of different gods and the pillars and the hidden knowledge of, you know, that the Masons hold dear and what it signified when that all went down. And I don't think we need to do a podcast at this point on 9/11 was an inside job type of a thing and all of those, because I feel like that's been beaten to death. And I mean, it's 16 years later. People know all about that. I don't think we have to go into that. But let's hope nothing happens on September 11th this year. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with North Korea. And
there is an interesting thing. I think iPhone is releasing a new phone on Monday, September 11th, and there's pictures all over the web showing that it's 316. So it's just an unusual connection. Like the picture of the iPhone, they're showing Monday, September 11th,
yeah.
And then the time that they're showing of the phone is
3:16,
which is also like the verse everybody knows from the Bible is John 3:16. So, I mean, that's unusual.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. I'm sure some people have already checked that out. And yeah, I'll have to try to find that and either put a picture or some links in the show notes about that. Yeah, that's the iPhone 8 coming out.
Is that? Yeah.
I feel like they come, I mean, I can't even keep up. But anyway, guys, I think that's about it for you. I'm thinking we will try to do another episode later this month on the Revelation 12 sign. In fact, we were going to do the whole sunlight thing, but we didn't have enough material really other than what we already talked about to do that later in September. So I think we'll do the September or the Revelation 12 sign, I think maybe we'll do for September 18th. And then in October, I want to focus on kind of scary stuff because that's just what people are looking into then. And it's, I'm not trying to exploit that, but I want to kind of expose some of the dark things that go along with Halloween because that's what people will be searching for. I want to get into that in October. And if you guys have any topics or questions or anything you want to talk about, you know, email us. All of our contact information is on the website. Check us out on Facebook. I keep getting kicked off Facebook every week. I get kicked off Facebook. So if I'm not on there or you message me and I don't answer right away, I'm sorry. I don't. Facebook is trying to get me off of there. They don't like what I'm posting. I don't know what it is. Be sure to subscribe to YouTube and subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review. We're not getting too many people on there leaving reviews, so I'm not going to order lots of cool stuff and send it out to people if you're not reviewing. So please do that, and have a good one, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Yabba-Dum Media. Don't forget to check the show notes at yabbadum.com for links to everything that was mentioned in this episode. You can also find us at facebook.com/yabbadum or on Twitter at yabbadum. Keep an eye out for our next episode. And would you do us a huge favor? Please subscribe to our podcast, share this podcast, or even tell a friend about it. We would love it if you would rate and review our podcast on iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our mailing list at yabbadum.com. And if you feel inclined, we would love your support on Patreon. Thanks. See you next time. Thank you for listening to Yabba-Dum Media. Don't forget to check the show notes at yabbadum.com for links to everything that was mentioned in this episode. You can also find us at facebook.com/yabbadum or on Twitter at yabbadum. Keep an eye out for our next episode. And would you do us a huge favor? Please subscribe to our podcast, share this podcast, or even tell a friend about it. We would love it if you would rate and review our podcast on iTunes. And don't forget to sign up for our mailing list at yabbadum.com. And if you feel inclined, we would love your support on Patreon. Thanks. See you next time.